Blog Talk Radio.
Let's just prepare our hearts to worship the Lord, because He is worthy of praise, honor, and glory. That we can come before Him and lay down our lives before Him and just lift up our hearts and thank Him. Glory to Your name, Lord God. You alone are worthy. You are King and Lord of all.
Glory to God.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We indeed do worship the Lord our God for all that he's done, all that he's doing. Tonight we're going to look just quickly at our subject, which is Seek Ye the Lord While He May Be Found. And it comes from Jeremiah and his letter to the exiles. He says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile." That's Isaiah 55:6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And I want to look just basically at seek. And seek says it's a verb, and it's an attempt to find something. They came here to seek shelter from biting winter winds. And the synonym, search for, to try, to find, look for, be on the lookout for, be after, hunt for, be in quest of. They sought shelter from the winter snows. And it is something that God has given us an invitation to seek him. We see that so many times when we look at the illustrations that were given to search for the lost corn, to look at the thing that would take up time to search for it. You can't search for something hidden on the surface. You need to dig deeply to find it, and it takes time and patience. And God says in Isaiah 45:19, he says, "I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth." He hasn't. He's spoken clearly for all to hear who choose to hear. Amos 5:6 says, "Seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the tribes of Joseph like a fire. It will devour them, and Bethel will have no one to quench it." Jonah 3:8, "But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence." And I think it's amazing things, because right now we have what would be considered as another tragedy in Baltimore. A young man died who was in transport by the police, and somehow his back was severed or damaged, and he died from his injury. And they were saying that it could possibly have been a rough ride. And we're looking at this in terms of how many call for a protest. But you see, in Jonah, when he went to Nineveh and the pronouncement of what God was going to do, they didn't per se call for a protest, but they called for everyone. It says, "But let every people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence." I wonder what would happen if leading pastors and those that have a voice in the community and looking at society and the things that are happening would not speak up and call for the same kind of seeking God, that they would call urgently on God. Those that know how to call on him would do so urgently and that every person would give up their evil ways and their violence. Things would change. Things would change. There's something in Daniel 4:27. It says, "Therefore, Your Majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue." I love the Word of God more and more every day. I love the Word of God because of the truth that's in it. It cuts, but yet it brings a healing. Once you're over the cutting aspect of it, it brings a deep healing where the offense is cut out and healing is poured in. And to experience that, we have to seek the Lord. To experience that, we have to know what He's saying in His Word so that it can cut out those things that bring offense. I want to see, we're going to find some other things that talk about seeking God. Second Chronicles, 19:3 says, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in you, in that you seek the Lord." Job 8:5, "If you would seek to God betimes and make your supplication to the Almighty." And Psalm 14:12, "The Lord looked down from heaven on the children of men, and He was looking in such a way to see if there were any that was seeking Him." Psalm 27:8, "When you said, 'Seek you my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, will I seek.'" Psalm 32 talks about seeking. "For this shall every one that is godly pray to you in the time." Psalm 95:7, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture." Jeremiah 29:12-14, "Then shall you call on me, and you shall go and pray." It becomes amazing because you see this constant invitation that God is giving to seek Him, and the rewards of seeking Him becomes amazing because it says that, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray to you in the time when," this is Psalm 32:6, "Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters shall not reach them." And that says volumes. It says volumes of what seeking God can lay hold of the treasures of darkness and stay the troubles, water representing troubles that... As one would seek God, that God would deliver them from many troubles and many waters. Let's look at Matthew Henry's concise commentary. It says, "It is very difficult to bring sinful men humbly to accept free mercy. With full confession of his sins and self-condemnation. But the true and only way to peace of conscience is to confess our sins that they may be forgiven, to declare that we may be justified. Although repentance and confession do not merit the pardon of transgression, they are needful to the real enjoyment of forgiving mercy. And what tongue can tell the happiness of that hour when the soul oppressed by sin is enabled freely to pour forth its sorrows before God and to take hold of His covenant mercy in Jesus Christ? Those that would speed in prayer must seek the Lord when by His providence, he calls them to seek him, and by his Spirit stirs them up to seek him. In a time of finding, when the heart is softened with grief and burdened with guilt, when all human refuge falls, when no rest can be found to the troubled mind, then it is that God applies the healing balm of his Spirit. We know that all things work together for good. We know that according to Psalm 42:7, it says, deep calls to the deep at the noise of your water spouts. Call your waves, all your waves, rather. We see something with seeking God. There is a reward. Titus 2:12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, there's something that happens within us. Isaiah 49:8 says, thus said the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you on him while he is near. Luke 19:42-44, saying, if you had known, even you, at least in your day. John 7:34, you shall seek me and you shall find me where I am. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he said, I have heard you in the time except, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. For God, oh God, is the one that we must call upon, that we must seek. And we see that even in the hardship and even in the struggle, just something from Paul's hardships and God's grace, we see something happening that if the scripture was written for our admonition and for our benefit, we can learn something from his hardships in seeking God. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. Oh, my gosh, it's a powerful thing when you are seeking God and when you are seeing that God is doing great things on your behalf because of your seeking him. It becomes the challenge that the more you seek him, the more he will reveal himself and his plan to you and what he has for you. He is faithful. God is faithful. God is so faithful that as you seek him, as you turn to him in prayer, you will see him open doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open. Just as the scripture says, seek the Lord, seek him while he may be found, while he's making himself available, while he's making himself, as it were, searchable. Seek the Lord. Seek him and live. We will take this short break and we will be right back. We are ending our live broadcast, but we will be back with our broadcasting. Thank you.
magnify your name. Because you alone are worthy of the highest praise. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah.
continue to look at this in terms of seeking God. And he says an acceptable time. And it goes on to say, surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. That is, unto the godly man. Not but that afflictions, which are comparable to great floods of waters, do reach godly persons, but not so as to overwhelm them and destroy them. They are delivered out of them. And I think we have to really get that clear in our minds, because we're not driven to despair. We don't go into despair as those who have no hopes, because in seeking God, we come to know him, we come to know his ways. And when we see troubles, and it's a promise, that's part that I say it like that because the Word of God says, through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom of heaven. And so the thing is such that when we enter the kingdom of heaven through this trouble, going back to the comparing it to great floods of waters, do reach godly persons, but not so as to overwhelm them and destroy them. They are delivered out of them. The phase seems to denote safety in the greatest calamities. So whatever you're going through, and you know that it seems that there's no way out, but God is faithful, because he said that he would make a way of escape. And so as we're seeking him and we're asking him, where is the way of escape? Maybe out of a physical dilemma. He says he heals all our diseases. Maybe the calamity may be a financial calamity. He says he supplies all of my needs according to his riches out of his riches in glory. And we know that he's causing all things to work together for our good, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that it may try to come together, but it won't work. And as we see this, as we see the gift of seeking his face, as we see that the calamities and the other things that are impacting others don't faze the believer, because his roots have gone down deep and he knows his God. He knows his God. The faith seems to, as we said, denote safety in the greatest calamities, that though even a deluge of vengeance and awful judgments should come upon the earth, yet the godly man is safe. His place is the mountain of rocks. He is in the hands of God, as it were, and is enclosed in the arms of everlasting love, from whence he can never be taken by men or devils. The Targum interprets these waters of many people and adds, as do any evil or hurt. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, glory to God, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him, so that whatever you're going through, he will show you the way of escape. He will show you, this is the way, walk ye in it. So no matter what the day may bring, you know that he is a covenant-keeping God. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, he shall raise up a standard against him. And we go on to see that, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. We see something of God's amazing grace. We see something that becomes such a reality to us, that God says he circles us with his favor, and we know that we never walk alone, because God's promises are covering the godly as they go about. Let's read this. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And if you can almost get that into your head, when one scripture says singing to yourselves in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, and you know that when you're singing those songs, God is making a way out of no way, that he's closing the doors on every entrapment, that he's closing the door on every unprogressive move, that he's closing the door on those who will not cooperate with you. Because he says he will surround you with songs of deliverance. And as you yield to him, as you meditate upon his word, you will begin to see the flow that it's having, the impact rather, that it's having upon your life, that God is beating back your enemies and your foe. We see so many wonderful things happening with this scripture. Another commentator went on to say that the benefits of our experience to others should reconcile us to it. No doubt the case of David has led thousands to seek the Lord with hopeful courage, who, without such an intent to cheer them, might have died in despair. But it's almost you hear David saying, don't give out. Be a man or a woman after God's own heart. You can conquer the bear. You can conquer the lion. You can run through a troop and leap over a wall. It becomes as though David becomes your cheerleader, cheering you on, because he's walked that way. He's run that way. He's leaped that way. You can almost hear him say, dance before the Lord with all of your might, and as you're giving yourself to the dance, and as you're giving yourself to seeking the Lord, you see doors opening. You see the bare crack getting wider and wider and wider. Let's go on with this. The benefits of our experience to others should reconcile us to it. No doubt the case of David has led thousands to seek the Lord with hopeful courage, who, without such an instance to cheer them, might have died in despair. Perhaps the psalmist meant for his favor or the like all godly souls should seek. And here again, we can confirm his testimony. For all will draw near to God in the same manner as he did when godliness rules their heart. Godliness, rather, rules their heart. The mercy seat is the way to heaven for all who shall come there. We will start this and complete it on next Friday. Join us then, and God bless you real good.
My heart.